stand with a group and just stand there with your coffee and say, well, you know how. Don't say another one. They're like,
just waiting on the edge.
Well, you know how what? Tell me what it is that you know how.
Hear his story, I think, is so important.
It's tobacco. It's called Pirate's Den.
Just a quick reminder, if you can hit that subscribe button, it would mean the world to us.
And guys, I am so excited to have our guest on the show today. This gentleman is Big Al Schreider. And for those of you who don't know him, he is one of the top network marketing trainers in the entire world. He is basically like the Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Tony Hawk, you name it, legends of the entire network marketing industry, who has inspired and helped change millions of lives, my life being one of them. I'm so excited to have you on the show. How are you doing, brother?
Very good. Great introduction. Yeah.
So, Big Al, I got a question for you. Out of all of the titles behind you, all those books right behind you, right? What book that you've written is your favorite so far?
Well, my favorite versus the most useful.
Let's start with your favorite. Yeah.
my favorite one is How to Build Instant Trust, Belief, and Rapport with People, 13 Shortcuts of the Subconscious Mind. It is the shortest of all the books, and I think I wrote that, I don't know, 2013, probably. And it just shows how you can talk to anybody and have what's called instant rapport, where they absolutely believe and trust whatever you say without question. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it all happens. Here's a little illustration for people. We don't have to do any sales presentation whatsoever. Sales presentations belong in the 1970s. So if you have this company video and flip chart and all this stuff, please burn them. They're anchors around our neck, holding us back, destroying our business, pushing people away. Not that I have an opinion. But the deal is, once they trust and believe what you say, what we say is good stuff, right? We say good stuff. Yeah. And they'll say yes. So the whole deal is, you got to get that done first. And that's why we feel icky and sleazy and pushy. So when we meet people, they're going to make an instant judgment if they can trust us or not. And it happens in, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds if they're slow. But we can control that time. So it's good and bad news. The bad news is they prejudge us harshly. Mm. And they do it probably within the first few seconds. The good news is, you and I only have to be good for the first couple seconds. And after that, we can be incompetent and absolutely clean up. So here's the illustration. I hope nobody takes this personal, but it's kind of meant to be personal anyway. 100% of the people you and I talk to are pre-sold. That's why you don't need a silly sales presentation. And if you don't believe me, let's do a survey. We go out and talk to 100 people and ask 100 people, do you want to live longer or die quickly? Live longer.
Yeah.
They're pre-sold on your supplements. Get over it. Do you want more money in your life or less money? More. I did the math, okay? Pre-sold. Do you want younger looking skin or be one wrinkle away from a prune? Younger looking skin. Do you want to pay a higher utility bill or would you rather get a discount? Let me do the math. Discount sounds good. Everybody is pre-sold. You don't have to sell them.
Right, right.
So here's the illustration. 100% of the people are pre-sold.
Yep.
Step two, we talk to them. Mm-hmm. Step three, they say no. So let me do this a little bit slower. 100% of the people are pre-sold. We talk to them and they say no. Does that strike anybody here as strange? And it should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now watch this. See if you pick up where it all went wrong. 100% of the people are pre-sold. Hint, we talk to them and they say no. So yeah, where do you think it went wrong?
Right,
we talk to them.
We talk to them.
We
literally
talk them out of it with some stupid, sleazy, social chit-chat talk instead of hardcore commercial words.
Right.
So for everyone here, you and I, let's say if you sell nutrition, you and I literally talked people out of it. And we talk them out of it so bad that they almost say, I'd rather die quickly and be broke rather than do business with you.
That's hysterical. Wow. That is so funny when you put it that way.
And it's so cruel.
Yeah.
So if you sold utilities, yeah, I'd rather overpay on my utilities and be living in poverty rather than even be associated with you. I mean, we literally talk pre-sold people out of it. So once we get that, all the stupid, silly sales presentation, show the video, show up for the meeting stuff just goes away. Because we can learn hardcore brain science with just a few easy Big Al lessons with small words.
Absolutely love it.
Mess with people and get them to say yes almost automatically. It is just too much fun when you learn how to do it.
Amazing.
So for everyone here addicted to a sales presentation, let me tell you one of the most horrendous, disgusting networkers of all time. Me, when I started 50 years ago.
Really?
I was actually going to ask how you got started and kind of jump right into there. So let's go for it. How'd you get started? Let's hear about you 50 years ago.
All right. So 50 years ago, networking is brand new. Nobody knew what was going on. So we are the ones that ruined it for everybody. So if you have people biased, that was us.
Yeah.
So here's how I started. Now, you and I know that people make their final decision right away. Maybe not, but we'll get to that. But here's what I did. I saw a little three-line ad in a newspaper, and the ad said part-time business. Well, here's the situation. Married, child on the way, wife says, you don't make much money, so go out and earn some more money. So I look for a part-time job. Part-time business sounds better. So I show up. I'm living in Chicago at the time, Ford City Shopping Center in the basement. They had a meeting at 9 a.m. on a Saturday. I said, okay, I don't like getting up that early on a Saturday, but I'll go because I need the money. So I show up at this meeting. There's 150 anti-government communist hippies screaming, jumping up and down, talking about strange things falling out of their colon on stage. It's the most disgusting three-hour thing you can imagine. I would have left, except there's armed guards in the back of the room.
Yeah.
So at the end of the meeting, I'm trying to sneak out. And this guy stops me. He says, are you the person answered my ad? Now, I'm thinking, how did he know that I, out of 150 people, was the one that answered his ad? Well, later on, I found out I was the only guest. Everybody else is distributors.
Wow.
So I said, well, yeah, I listen to it. It's not for me. I'm not a salesman. I don't know anybody. You know, I don't understand what's going on. It's all kind of weird, but thank you for inviting me. I'm out of here. He said something in 30 seconds. And at the end of 30 seconds, I said, so how do I join?
Wow.
Now, there was my first lesson. 3-hour opportunity meeting? No. 30 seconds of good commercial words? Yes. So the first lesson given to me was, you get it all in less than 30 seconds. Don't waste your time, because if you talk too long, you're going to talk him out of it. So did I take that lesson and learn it? No. What do? I go out and give 45-minute engineering, picture-perfect, 3D flip chart, fact after fact.
A speaker. It was great.
Nobody joined. So I did this, and after about a year, I'm thinking, man, nobody's joining. I guess they don't have enough facts. So I doubled it to 90 minutes.
Oh, so dude.
Nobody would ever even want me to call them again. So I did this for a year and 10 months. Now, during this year and 10 months, I probably talked to maybe 1,000, 1,500 people. They all said no. My question to everybody listening is, what do you think the problem was? Did I run across 1,500 unmotivated people that didn't want any future in a row? That's pretty long odds, isn't it?
Right.
So what was the common denominator in every one of those presentations?
That's,
me.
That's you.
I was at the scene of the crime every time.
Wow.
So after a year and 10 months, my wife says to me, hey, dear, I'm pregnant with child number two. How's your business coming along? So I had to tell her the truth. I told her it's consistent.
Nice.
Well, I mean, technically, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I can't lie. But she figured that out pretty quick and says, you know, you got to figure out how to make this work. So I've been threatened. So I blow, it'd be about in today's dollars, about $1,000, 3 days of my life. I drive from Chicago to Minneapolis, Minnesota in winter, freeze my butt for 3 days.
Yeah.
Just for a chance to figure out what's wrong. And when I'm up there, first 2.5 days, they talked about how to have a better attitude. And I'm thinking, you ought to see what my attitude is right now when I got to come home and tell my wife. But the end of day three, this guy pulls me aside and says, so Big Al, why can't you sponsor and sell? I says, well, you know, I live in Chicago and it's winter now. There's snow on the ground. There's no place for people to park if they come to a meeting. Of course, it's the holidays. We don't even have meetings right now, and the economy is bad, and the weather, spotting is too expensive. And they said, Big Al, do other people besides you and the company get bonus checks? Yeah. And then he said, do they have the same weather you do? Oh, that was cruel. Same market?
Wow.
Same territory? Same comp plan? Same products? It was humiliating. And he said, well, here's the deal, Big Al. The only difference between you working your butt off every night of the week away from your family trying to make things work and them making lots of money in seconds and minutes a day, there's only one little difference. I'm all ears. Huh? He says, the only difference is when they're with the exact same person, they just move the words around a little bit. Huh. I go, what? Are you telling me that if I just move the words around, you know, a couple of ways like that, that I'd be making a ton of money? Yeah. Well, my brother didn't drop me on my head. I could figure this out. So I said, I got to figure out how to move the words around. And that's exactly what I did. 60 days later, I had a full-time income.
Wow.
Now, do the math here. Shy, nerdy, personality-free, charisma bypass, socially challenged engineer should not be let out in public. Year and 10 months, total failure. Move a couple words around, full-time income, 60 days. Fired his boss, never went back. So too bad years to start, about 48 good years thereafter. It balances out.
Yeah,
fair balance.
In 1997, they started doing fMRIs of the brain, and they found out that people make instant decisions. And this is the biggest thing. If there's only one thing to remember from this podcast, is they already made a yes or no decision instantly before you've mentioned the name of the company. It's all over in the first few seconds. Trust me, I'll do an example. We're in a meeting in Maine with our coats on, and Cody and I are doing this meeting. And at the end, Cody says, and we're all sitting in the meeting, Cody says, at the end of the meeting here, Big Al and I are going to the ice cream parlor. Who wants to come with us? Half the hands go up. Half the people don't raise their hand. Oh, I'm lactose intolerant. I have a babysitter at home. All right. So those half the people, it's a no. We got it. But how quick was the yes on the other half? They made their final decision. Now get this. Before the information, before they knew the location of the ice cream parlor, before they knew how many flavors, before they knew if Cody's going to buy or not, they made their final decision before any information happened. So please remember this, because this tells us what we didn't know before 1997, and that is the human brain makes an instant decision. It's a predictive survival organ. The human brain makes a yes or no decision before we tell them the details. Mm-hmm. The human brain hates information, hates details. And here's why. We can only have one thought at a time. There's so many things we have to think about. If you start giving them details, we have to push everything back. It just stresses it out. So please give people no information, no details until they made a yes decision.
Yeah.
Now, once we make a yes decision, then we will want a few details. So we don't look like an idiot, like, oh, what's the name of the company? What did I join? Something like that. You know, thinking, how can people make a decision before they know all the details, before they've learned the name of our wonderful company and how the founder walks on water when it's frozen, does magic card tricks and all this stuff? It does. Yeah. So I'm going to give you an example, just so you don't think I'm talking out of wherever. So here's some examples, and I want you to think how quick the decision is. You and I sit down with a prospect, and from the moment we sit down with Gabriel here, and from the moment we sit down, Gabriel is leaning back, folding his arms, frowning. How many people here have ever met a prospect like that? Have they made a decision? Well, yeah, they've made a decision. What was their decision? No. based on how much information?
Absolutely zero. Nothing.
Yeah. That's
how many people here invited somebody to a meeting and they did not show up?
Yeah.
Have they made a decision? Yeah. What was their decision? No. Based on how much information?
Zero information.
Wow. Ladies, have you ever seen a man with a remote control channel surfing? You look at men and say, men are so stupid. They make their final decision to watch that channel before they even seen it. Now, men, we have no defense on this. Let's just move on.
I was like, yeah, that's probably accurate. Yeah.
How many of us have seen a video on YouTube? How many seconds into a video before we make our final decision if we want to watch it or not?
Less than five. It's crazy.
How many of us have ever been to a restaurant and one side of that restaurant to eat even before we've seen the menu? All right, get this. How many of us have ordered something off the menu before we knew all the details? Well, were the vegetables organically grown? Did the chicken have a happy life before they killed it? No. You and I make instant decisions first. Details come later. Now, let's put this to use in real life, and this is brutal. Right now, you and I get a phone call on our cell phone.
Yep.
Whatever, it looks something like that. And we see it's from a salesman.
Yep.
How long does it take us to make a decision?
Instantly.
Instantly, yeah.
100%.
We might not even answer that call. We make our final decision.
Yeah.
And we haven't even heard the first word of the presentation.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question. If you and I make our final decision as salespeople instantly before, without hearing any presentation, if that's what you and I do to salespeople, the question is, do you think other people would do that to us?
Yeah.
What percentage of the time?
All the time. 100%.
Yeah, a little over 100%.
Yeah.
So there we are.
Exactly.
So when you and I meet somebody, they sort us out right away. It's over. And this is hard to accept, hard to believe. But if you can just get your head around that, it took me 6 months to change my engineering thinking that information was important. If you just do that, you're going to be ahead of 99% of networkers like that because you're working with the mind instead of against it.
Right.
So I don't have a lot of time. So let me give you two examples that you can remember on your own. Example number one, if you're a lady listening right now, ladies, have you ever sometime in your lifetime met a young man, made up your mind about that young man, where that young man might fit in your life, and made that decision within the first 30 seconds of meeting that young man? And ladies are probably going, oh, yeah. So, men, is that fair? No, they haven't heard our sales presentation yet. But they've already made up their mind.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Ladies, if you're sitting with a man right now, look him in the eye and say, that's how it works. All right. Here's example number two, just so you have something to think about. Example number two, how many of us listening right now has ever entered a relationship or got married before we had all the information?
Everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes twice. So if there's one truth about getting yes decisions, and that is, it happens immediately. And for everyone on this call, you are not in the health and wellness business. You're not in the skincare business. You're not in the travel business. You're not in the utility business. Your companies are. You are not. You're not part of it. You don't work in customer service. You don't do shipping and receiving. The company has a website, deals with the lawyers. You and I are not in that business. It's their company, their business. They don't even need us. They can service the customer from the home office.
Right.
The only thing they need us for, the only thing, is to do the one thing they can't do, and that is to get people to make a decision.
Wow.
So the company has this partnership. They do everything, and all we have to do is get people to say yes. Now, I think that's a pretty good partnership. We can get people to say yes in a few seconds and clean up, get our job, and be done. So for everyone here, you and I are in the decision-making business. You and I have made a decision to go in the decision-making business. And the only thing the company pays us for is the only thing they want us to do is to get people to make a decision.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
With that, what do you think are some of the most important skills necessary in the decision-making business?
if people make their final decision instantly, when do you think would be a good time to close?
Instantly?
Yeah, I think I'd go in that area. Yeah, seems fair, yeah, right?
So wait, there-ish. Like, maybe a little sooner.
Irritate them with useless information they don't care about, and then at the end say, what was your decision, you know, 45 minutes ago? That was my initial plan. So, yeah, let's close them right away.
Yeah.
So if everybody here has a pencil and paper, I'll show you a real nifty one. So there's hundreds of ways of closing. I've written two books on closing, just on closing words. One's called Pre-Closing, How to Close Them Instantly, and the other one's Regular Closing, showing you some other methods. But if you have a pencil and paper, we're going to start off our conversation by saying, does it make sense to? Does it make sense to? T-O.
Yep.
Now, if you say, does it make sense to, the other person in their mind thinking, does it make sense? Am I a sensible person? Of course I'm a sensible person. Do I make stupid? No, I don't make stupid. I'm a very sensible. I make intelligent decisions. As a matter of fact, I'm probably borderline genius. So once you've said these five words, does it make sense to, they are already saying yes.
So
we haven't even gotten anywhere.
Interesting.
So we say, does it make sense to? And then we're going to take advantage of some brain science here. Brains are incredibly lazy. They burn up 20% of our oxygen. Just 2 pounds on our brain burns up 20% of our oxygen.
Wow.
But they're really lazy. It says, please don't stress me. I don't want a lot of choices. I mean, if you give me too many choices, just too much work. I want to save my brain power for Netflix. So, but I want choices. What's the minimum amount of choices you can give me?
Yes or no?
Two. So yeah. Please keep it to two choices. Just two. Don't go over two. If you go over two, it's just too hard.
Yeah.
So we're not going to stress out their brain. We're going to be friendly. So we're going to say, does it make sense to? And we're going to give them whatever we offer, our product, our service, our opportunity.
Sure.
We're going to say, does it make sense to? And we're going to tell them what we offer. And then we're going to put a comma. And then we're going to use these two words, which just messes with the brain. Instead of keeping your miserable life the same. So what we're doing is you and I will gift people an option. We're going to gift them an option and say, you can have this option or you can keep your life the same. Don't take the option, right? Yes or no. And humans say, thank you for getting to the point. Thank you for giving me the option. Let me explain the option word very quickly. If you use the word presentation, what does that mean to the humans when you say, I want to give you a presentation? What comes up?
Sales pitch.
Yeah, sales pitch. Oh, they're going to try to sell me. Oh, man, they're going to close me at the end. I better look for, why not? Look for something I don't like in here so I have some ammunition to protect me in the end. So if we say the word presentation, number one, they don't want to hear it because they're afraid of saying no to us and they'll try to close them. And then if we do give the presentation, we're going to look for reasons why it won't work. Changing one little word, change the word presentation to options. What does the word options mean?
You have something to choose from here.
Yeah. Well, we have at least two choices and it doesn't matter which one you take.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Wow.
But then they say, wait a minute, if it's an option, it can't serve me unless I use the option. So let me look how to make this work. So changing the word from presentation to option is changing their mind from, let me look for why it won't work to why it will work for me. Because if you give me an option, I don't take it, it has no value. So what we're going to do is give them options, but only two options. So here's how it sounds in real life. Are you ready? So let's sell some discounted electricity savings or whatever.
Yep.
So we'll say, does it make sense to pay a lower electricity bill instead of keeping your bill high?
Yes, it does.
And then just a matter of details. Then we'll say, well, of course. All right, well, here's the details. All right. Now, I'm going to show you the next sentence, what you say after that, and it'll give you an automatic appointment. Ready? So let's hear it again. Does it make sense to pay less rate for your utilities instead of paying the full price? Well, yeah. Then we should talk.
Wow.
What are they going to say?
They're going to say
100% of the time.
Yeah.
So I could go on Waffle House. I don't know if you have Waffle House up there, but the waitress comes and says, what do you want to order? And I make my order and say, hey, does it make sense to take a discount off your electric bill instead of paying full price? Oh, yeah. Well, then we should talk. Well, yeah. Done.
Just like that.
Yeah. That's
the but you say radical thing.
Only works on utilities to get the instant decision. Let's try this. Let's sell some nutrition. Does it make sense to take care of our bodies and live longer?
Yeah,
instead of dying early? Let me think about this. Well, then we should talk.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to get a good night's sleep every night instead of tossing and turning and being awake after 10 minutes? Oh, yeah. Well, does it make sense to make your skin younger while you sleep instead of growing wrinkles so deep you can store food in them? Well, yeah. So does it make – it's so easy to.
So simple.
And only nerds like me get excited about that stupid stuff.
Now, you wrote an amazing book called How to Build Network Marketing Leaders. It's one of my favorite books that I've read. And one of – a quote that I really love, and it really stuck out to me years ago when I read it, was building leaders and making them successful is basically the key to success in this whole thing. Build leaders and make them successful. Mm-hmm. And with that, I guess my question is how do you find leaders?
If you find a leader, they're probably employed and doing quite well. They don't need us. So
super true.
I guess
super
you could
true.
Get them to join you by bribing them with $5. But what's the downside of that? Somebody will bribe them for $6 and you lose them. So
and you lose them,
I think that's just a stealing leaders from somebody else doesn't seem ethical, and
right. It's
not going to work long-term.
Absolutely.
So what you and I are going to do is find people that aren't leaders and grow them into leaders. And they'll be tremendously loyal because we've taken their income from nothing to a whole lot.
So leaders are not, are not born then is what you're saying. They're developed.
No, there's no scientific evidence that when they come out of the room that some have leaders tattooed on their butt. No.
Really? I thought I read a study about that somewhere.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah. It was on the internet, so it had to be true.
Had to be true.
So we're going to find people that aren't leaders, and I'll give everybody the first shortcut. There's lots of shortcuts in the books,
Yeah.
And that is, if you go out looking for people to be leaders, there's only two things they have to master. There's only two things they got to have. And number one, they need skills, right? And number two, they need a desire and drive. Now, which one is harder to teach? Basic little skills, say this and this automatically happens, or getting somebody unmotivated to become motivated?
Definitely the second there.
Yeah.
So don't worry about looking for people with skills. You can teach anybody skills. But to teach somebody to be motivated is outside of our abilities. It really is. It can be done at a very high level, but by the time you get to that high level, you're already rich. So what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, so what I need to do is just look for people with motivation. Well, yeah. So you're going to look at people that are not leaders, imperfect, sociopaths, people that just lack basic understanding of math, whatever, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how awful they are at the skills. All you want is somebody with the desire to change. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, I've taught a lot of terrible people to become leaders. I mean, bad social skills are the worst, like me when I started. But I've never taught somebody to be motivated.
So do you think introverted or being like an introvert or an extrovert matters in your leadership quality, or do you think it doesn't matter?
Nah. The fact that you're not comfortable around people, that you fear them, scared of your shadow, full-time coward, means we have empathy, which means we can understand people better. We don't talk much. We're better listeners. The only way you could handicap somebody is to make them outgoing.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because when you're talking, you can't listen for problems. And our business is just a matter of solving people's problems. So if you're talking, you'll never know what their problem is. You're seriously handicapped. So for all the outgoing salesman type people there, the brave, courageous ones, sorry. If you're going to spend some time teaching somebody to be a leader, you want to talk to somebody fully motivated that wants to change. So he dropped me into Lewiston, Maine, in a parachute. Let me show you two places I would find the best people. All right, so I land and I say, who's people here that might want to be motivated? And I said, well, teachers.
Yeah.
You know, they automatically have good skills, but, you know, they are so underpaid. They probably say, I should be getting combat pay for teaching these little rugrats running around. Yeah. You know, not respected, and, you know, I got to do homework at night, and I like to be able to afford a house, but I wouldn't talk to any teacher. No. I would talk to the band teachers. Because what do you know about band teachers? They have unlimited patience. Have you heard a grade school band?
Yeah.
Unlimited patience.
Right. And so they are horrendously underpaid.
Yeah.
And they're hustlers. They're always trying to raise money so they can, you know, hop in the bus and go play at a band festival down the street somewhere else. These are people that are highly motivated. And I would talk to – so you drop me in a parachute and say, take me to your band teacher, grade school band teacher. I'd start right there. Who else? Well, I said, well, maybe I'll just make it easy on myself. I'm going to look for somebody with a full-time job and a part-time job. Now, what do we know about people with a full-time job and a part-time job? Are they hustlers?
They're motivated.
Self-starters? Self-motivators? Do they want more money? Do they want to have two jobs the rest of their life? No, they would like to see their kids on occasion.
Yeah.
So if I could help them get rid of their part-time job so they actually have a life, they would hug me. If I got rid of their part-time job and full-time job, they would worship the ground I walk on. And they'd do anything to have a life before they die. So here's my question. I just go to anybody in town and say, well, who do you know that has a full-time job and a part-time job?
Wow.
Why do you want to know? So I can talk to them. Oh, well, my brother does. Give me his phone number. What? What do you want his phone number for? So I can help him get rid of one of his jobs. And now they have a choice. Do I not give my brother's phone number and make him work two jobs forever? And then they're going to look at my face and say, what's your intention? Well, you look like you want to help him, so okay, I'll give it to you. So I call up the brother. I say, hey, brother, your brother said that you have a full-time job and a part-time job. Is that true? Yeah. Would you like to get rid of one of them? Yeah. Ready for my next sentence?
Yeah.
Then we should talk.
There it is.
That simple.
Boom. Then we should talk. That's amazing. Now, so, geez, that's it. Really, you make it seem so simple, but it is hard. It is hard to like get into that proper mindset of speaking this way.
Well, it's hard if we don't know what to say, but if we know what to say, even if you're a nerd, you can say, then we should talk.
That's,
I mean, you can even
it.
Write it on the inside of your wrist and just slap your forehead and read if you can remember. I mean, it's not that difficult.
Yeah. So what do you think holds people back from saying the right things? Is it just the lack of knowledge? It's literally that. Yeah.
The only thing between us and where we want to be is just a whole bunch of stuff we don't know yet. I mean, if we knew it, we'd be there.
Right.
So if you're listening right now, and if you're not where you want to be, don't give up. Just say, what is it that I don't know yet? So I can be there. That's all.
Right.
So now, when we start, this is a brand new profession. It's like being a doctor or taxi driver. You know, it's brand new. We have skills of a different profession. We come here. We don't know any of them. We just learn them. And when we learn them, ka-ching. That's it.
Now, obviously, team building is like such a large part of the process, right? And when doing that, there's so much different kinds of emotions going on, and everybody's, you know, you're it's like herding cats, as you know, Jim Rohn has said before in the past, and you have said before in the past. And I guess my question would be is like, how do you keep the flame going with your team? Or is that even really your responsibility as a leader?
Okay. Let's talk about groups. If we look at it from our viewpoint, our own selfish viewpoint of the world, well, we want everybody to fulfill our wishes. Unfortunately, right. That's not on their agenda.
Yeah.
So let's look at their agenda. People join network marketing for a lot of reasons. And they join for, let me give you some of the non-monetary reasons. Some people join because we're a lot more positive than the jerks by the coffee machine at work. They're always talking about bad things in their life, and we're always talking about moving ahead. Some people join for their personal development. They like the community where everybody supports each other. Maybe they love the products or the service or how they save people money. And maybe they got a little part-time bonus check here or there, you know, they can spend on the kids or on a holiday or something. And then some people join for money. Now, they all might say they join for money, but they quickly gravitate toward what they like. And you're going to see people in network marketing for 30 years. 30 years, never got a bonus check once. But it's their social life. They learn things like goals. I had never heard the word goals until I got into network marketing. They never brought it up on the farm. They never brought it up in engineering school. Of course, we don't even talk to people there. So, you know, we learn new things. So if we look from their viewpoint, what do they want? Most of the people in our group want to belong.
Yeah.
They just enjoy it. And, you know, they meet somebody and they say, all right, I won't keep it secret for them. I'll let them know they can save money on their utilities. Or, okay, I see them really suffering, can't sleep at night. I'll give them an option. It's up to them to take it or not. But they just enjoy it.
Yeah.
But some people take it serious. Only the people that take it serious do we have to do anything for. We're going to show them the words that they are missing so they can get to where they want to be, because that's the difference.
Right.
So we have two distinct groups here. So let's use Zoom time, which is now Zoom time since February. You're going to have a meeting once a week on Zoom, you know, for 30 minutes, and everybody gets on and they just feel good. Yeah. What's the new company announcement? Oh, they have this special trip if you do so much. And they think, well, what a wonderful trip. I'll never work for it, but, you know, it's really nice. And, oh, they're coming out with a new product, a new service, and it's really nice. And, you know, it's their social. And then you'll also have another one, another call. And this is for the people that actually take action.
Right.
And these are the ones that you're going to build into leaders. So there's a specific routine you can do on this call. And this is the best thing I've ever done for activity in your group. How it works is you get a group of people, and we all know that it all happens pretty much on the first sentence. So what we do is what we're going to do is we're going to shortcut it here. We're going to get you a good first sentence that's going to make you successful while you learn the rest of the skills so you can get even faster. But if you just have a good first sentence, trust me, you're going to do good. So let's just try this. So we'll pick on the utility people. Does it make sense to take a discount on your electricity bill instead of paying full rate every month? If you said that to 10 people, how many might say, yeah? I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You know.
All of them, every single one of them, yeah.
And for some of them, may not be the right time to switch. We don't, you know, maybe their mother dropped them on their head. They can't do basic math. We don't know. But most of them, well, let's be interested in it. And you can be incompetent and probably get a couple customers anyway.
Right.
So for this group that wants to build, we do this. We have a call, and the call starts off where everybody reports how many times they said their first sentence, what the results were, and something good that happened to them that week. Now, we said, I'm sure negative stuff happened, but save that for somebody else's call. For 20 minutes out of the week, we're going to just talk about positive stuff. Now, what happens is you want to have a group of about 8 or 10 people. So 8 or 10 people say, well, my goal was to say my first sentence once a day for 7 days, and I did it for 4 days. And my son came home from school, and it was the first day he never was detained for discipline. So it was a good day. And the next person says, all right, my goal, of course, is to say my first sentence once a day for 7 days, so 7 people hear it. I said it all 7 days, plus 2 times on Sunday. So I'd said it 8 times, and 4 people became customers, and 1 became a distributor. Next person says, my goal is to say this first sentence, all week I just goofed off. I was watching Netflix. I didn't do it at all. And what happened good to me this week was my lottery ticket came in and I got $1.20. So, yeah. So they all report very quick. It takes less than 5 minutes.
Yep.
What happens is everybody's in action on this call. This will have consistent business for you all week long, every week throughout the year. You don't have to worry about promotions and stuff. They hear that good things can happen from the other people, and it builds a mindset that good things can happen in my business next week.
Right.
So we do that report very quick, and then we take a chapter out of a Big Al book or a Think and Grow Rich book, and the assignment was to read a chapter, which is what, how long is it going to take? 5 minutes to read a chapter in a Big Al book? And we say, you know, what do we take out of the chapter? What can we use? And that's it. In less than 20 minutes, the meeting's over once a week. So for less than 20 minutes, once a week, we meet with our 8 or 10 people and we report. It gets the most activity of everything and they learn. So this is the action call, not the listen and be entertained call.
Right.
So I initially set up, because, you know, decent group, you know, 8 groups of 8 people. And volume exploded because they met and they did this week after week after week after week. So I'll use another utility example. This is one person's, he lived in Pennsylvania. I won't mention his name here, but he learned to say this. Here's sentence number one. Do you get an electricity bill? Question mark. Now, no rejection on that. And most people growing are going to say yes.
Pretty much.
I don't know. They have electricity up in Maine, don't they?
Of course they would.
Yeah. So he says, do you get electricity bill? And then his second sentence is, if they said yes, they got electricity bill, the second sentence was, would it be okay if, and of course, we on the inside know those 5 words mean they're going to say yes. Would it be okay if it was lower?
Interesting. Yeah.
He says, I did that for a month. Says, I ended up the month with 30 customers.
Wow.
And he said, I got thinking, I need a team. Now, how hard was it for him to build a team? He says, you know, you want some extra money? Yeah. You got to learn to say these two sentences.
Wow.
Take the volunteers. I mean, if they can't do math and can't figure it out, I mean, they got serious problems that you and I are not qualified to handle. So we just take the volunteers.
Yeah.
But they could say, do you like taking good care of your skin? Would it be okay if you can make your skin younger overnight? Do you like to have energy every afternoon instead of dragging your sorry butt around? Yeah. Would it be okay if you can have instant energy without caffeine? Ooh, that sounds great. So how hard is this? So you get people who say, I have motivation, but I didn't know the skill. I'll just say this over and over and their business accumulates.
Right.
This is so easy. Men can do this. This is awesome.
Yeah. Hallelujah. That's good.
For real. It's so fascinating. This is such a simple process, such a simple concept. And I see behind you in one of your books, in the top left there, it says Icebreakers is the title, right? I'm imagining this is the process I imagine that you teach in that book of how to break the ice. Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah. An icebreaker is simply the process of taking conversation from social chit chat and introducing our business into the conversation in a socially acceptable way.
Right.
Now, new people, do they know this skill yet? No, it's something they don't know. It'll hold them back. So you'll see the brand new distributor. Let's pick on skincare. I've been picking on utilities for a while. So the brand new distributor goes to the funeral and says to the widow, I'm really sorry about your husband passing away. But if you notice these fine lines coming around your eye, that could, you know, be a lack of color. So
that's not going to fly.
I wouldn't walk down.
So that's what we end up doing.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
We don't know how to force our conversation into business. So
right.
That's a big jump from, oh, how's the weather, to want to be a distributor. That's a huge jump.
Yeah.
And people can't make that unless you teach them how to do that.
What's like your favorite way to kind of make that jump? Is it through these sentences that you've been talking about?
Yeah, I like, there's actually a step before the icebreaker, and that's called rapport. There's the rapport is, you got to get people to believe you before you tell them something.
Right, Exactly.
I am 100% huge believer in rapport. That if for me personally, I've seen it impact my life in dramatic ways. I teach it wherever I possibly can to anyone who will listen. So I'm glad to hear you talking about this.
So rapport is easy to learn. We don't know how to do it. And that was probably my problem. So should we give the listeners a little rapport lesson?
Yes, please.
On how to do it?
Yes.
All right, so let's do a couple ones. The classical way to build rapport is to be honest, to have high integrity, to have people's best interests at heart, and none of these three things work. Now, I'm not saying to be dishonest or not have integrity or not have people's best interests, but they don't work because we do that already and it doesn't work.
Come on. Yeah,
exactly. AC Music. And yep. Con men, just look at con men. What do you call con men in Maine? In Texas, we call them politicians. What do you call them in Maine?
Oh, dude. you know what? We're really not too far away from what we call them.
Yeah, that's pretty damn close.
So con men. Are con men honest? No. High integrity? No. Your best interest heart? No. But yet con men are able to get people to believe them, hand over all their money in 15 seconds. So wouldn't that be a hint that maybe they know something about how rapport works?
Yeah, absolutely.
So lesson number one in rapport, and that is we tend to trust people who are more like us than people that are dislike us. That's a natural human tendency based upon some neuroscience. And that means we tend to like people of the same religion, same political party, same ethnic background, same location, same brand of beer, same sports team. We just tend to feel more comfortable around people that are more like us than people that are different than us. So Gabriel goes to China, billion Chinese people around him. He looks around and says, ooh, but he meets somebody else from America. And he says, oh, where are you from? And I say, I'm from Texas. And he says, wow, I'm from Maine. We're neighbors. Because somebody from America is more like him than all the billion Chinese people around him. So how do you signal to people that we are more like them than dislike them? And we do that by just telling them one simple little tiny fact that they believe and we believe. And they say, well, then you think just like me. You must be a genius. So let me give you an example of some facts. I put gas in my car, go inside to pay. Don't pay at the pump. Pumps don't join your team. Go inside where the people are. So as I give them the money, I will say a fact. I'll say, you know, jobs really interfere with the weak. He's thinking, oh, you and I think the same. We're joined at the hip, Vulcan, mind melt, blood brother, blood sister, best friends forever.
That just
done,
like that.
Just like that.
Wow.
Some nutrition. I might say, you know, dying early is really inconvenient. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or jobs just don't pay us enough. Oh. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, how do you figure out what to say? Well, when I go inside and see that sales clerk, what do I know about the sales clerk at that place? Is he overpaid or underpaid? Well, he's underpaid. Does he love his job or hate his job? He hates his job. Does he like working nights? Oh, he hates working nights. Does he want more time with his family? Does he enjoy being human target practice, protecting his boss's money? No. So I know so much, you can kind of guess what fact to tell them when they say, you and I think the same. We are in rapport.
Yeah.
So that would be the first lesson. Lesson number two is tell them two facts in a row and you'll put them into a deep hypnotic trance. Well, you say, you and I are the same. It's just so easy. Step number three, smile. Do you know that babies 6 weeks old can't even roll over, can't talk? But from 6 weeks old, you can look at a baby and smile and they will
smile
back. Wow. So from 6 weeks old, our brain is hardwired that if this program is stupid. We're hardwired that if somebody smiles, they can be trusted. Stupidest program ever given to humanity.
Seriously?
So fascinating. So
yeah, but politicians smile. We say, oh, yeah, you didn't lie to me this time.
Yeah, that's so true.
So if you smile, they say, well, you smiled, you can be trusted. because you can't lie if you smile. It is the stupidest program in the world. So if you wanted to shortcut finding somebody to be a leader, you'd run down and I'll find Cody. Cody's a natural smiler. So if you're a natural smiler, you've been cleaning up and had no idea why. Where maybe me, on the other hand, not a natural smiler. I had to learn that it's 13 muscles on this side of the face, 13 muscles on this side of the face. But if you don't learn to smile, you're going to kill your business.
Wow.
So you have a choice. Learn to smile or keep your job the rest of your life. Figure it out.
Wow.
So you tell them two facts and smile. You're in, but let's do some overkill because we're cool.
Yeah.
We're going to use a subconscious mind command to force them to believe us. And here's the subconscious mind command, four words. Well, you know how. If you say, well, you know how, the back of their mind says, well, if I know how, well, what I know is true. So it must be true because what I know is true. No further proof needed. No flip charts, no video, whatever. It has to be true because you said, well, you know how.
Wow.
So you're going to put, well, you know how in front of the fact, and then at the end, smile. They have no chance. And if you don't believe, well, you know how, stand by the coffee machine, listen to them talk. When they want you to believe what they're saying, they say, well, you know how Interstate 95 is back up today, and well, you know how it rains on weekends only, and well, you know how they don't pass enough, and well, you know how those coffees are. They don't even hear the command.
It's all
you can do this experiment to mess with people. Stand with a group and just stand there with your coffee and say, well, you know how. Don't say another word. And they're like,
yeah. Just waiting on the edge.
Well, you know
of
how
seat.
What? Tell me what it is that you know how. Yeah.
So, well, you know how we all want to live longer? Yeah. Well, you know how losing weight's so difficult? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know how we like to lose weight one time, keep it off forever? Yeah. Well, you know how two paychecks are better than one? Well, I've done the math. You're absolutely right. Well, you know, it's just a license to print money.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So
there's these subconscious mind hacks that you have just conquered over the past X amount of years. That is amazing.
And they're not hard. I mean, you can memorize four words and five words here. And
Yeah.
Does it
but working that into your habits, though, is what you're saying, though.
Yeah. So you learn to say that instead of the stupid stuff that makes them say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I had mastered also. There's a link. If you send them to the website where it says free, they can download two audios with a whole bunch of these magic word commands that they like.
Oh, that's
so
perfect.
If people can afford free, go to Big Al Books, BigAlBooks, and just look for free. Click on where it says free. And perfect. If you need more instructions than that, you might want to reevaluate your business options.
Well, but, you know how everyone loves free, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know how.
I'm glad you caught that.
And I just want to let all of our listeners know that we're going to make sure that we leave all of these links in the description below for you guys to pick up some, you know, these amazing, amazing books, as well as the free audios. And Big Al, do you have time for a few more questions?
Yeah. I have about 23 more hours till the next one.
You know, obviously COVID-19 has become such a huge thing, and it's actually revolutionized kind of the way that we go about doing all of our business meetings or private business receptions. Even going to national conventions and whatnot has changed. I guess my question is, has it really changed, or has it, as far as the process and how we go about this whole business?
No.
It's just the tools, essentially, right?
Yeah. But for all the listeners, let's take what Cody just said and just use a couple, well, you know, hows. How's this sound?
Yeah.
Well, you know how COVID-19 has been here now, and well, you know how we have to do it all virtually now, and well, you know how it seems like it's harder. And just by just doing that, it's like people start drooling, and you got to bite your tongue. You can't laugh because that's just rude.
Right. But, sorry, I just asked.
But the question is, all right, so we're in the business of getting people to say yes. Now, my question is, can you say, well, you know how in person as well as, well, we just proved it. We said it over Zoom.
Right.
So let me see. So if you said to somebody, well, you know how electric bills keep going up and up?
Right.
Well, you know how it'd be better if we paid less?
Oh, It's so true. It's so good. So COVID-19 has not destroyed the network marketing industry. It has actually only made it proven that it's even better.
Well, I think we're like 2 months into it, and somebody from England said, I can't do my business now because there's social distancing and, you know, I can't meet them face-to-face in person. Now, we all know meeting somebody face-to-face in person is so much more powerful. They see our body language, we bond better, right. But, you know, we can't. So he says, I can't do my business anymore. Drama, drama, drama. And I said, well, when you have a prospect that's like far away, do you drive and meet them? Well, no. Oh, what do you do? Well, I call them.
That's the same process.
It's that simple. Yeah. It's the same exact process. It's just, it really does comes down to people, I guess, just they want to find excuses to not actually put the work in, I guess, essentially, right?
Let me see. They probably, with COVID-19, started talking to people by Zoom and had poor results.
Right.
Because they didn't know what to say.
They weren't saying the right things.
That means that they haven't learned what to say.
Right.
Yet.
Mm. Man, this is amazing. It just comes down to that simple learning what to say. That's unbelievable.
The only thing between us and where we want to be is stuff that we don't know yet. That's all.
If you are in your final days, we're going to kind of take this and put it in different context, right? So let's imagine you're in the final days, your final mm-hmm. hours. You got your family, you're close, anyone you're really close to is right by you. What
this
is the final?
Uplifting.
You know I'm trying. What's the final?
Well, you know how we all pass away someday.
Oh, that's so good, Drill.
Oh, that's good.
Let the three of us together.
Oh my God, it'd be so much fun. What is the final piece of advice that you would give them? It can be completely out of left field, whatever you think would be the most value. What is that final piece of advice you're giving them?
I'd say learn to say, would it be okay if?
Yeah, that's good.
Because if you say, would it be okay if, people are programmed to say yes.
That's
kids
profound.
Know this. They say, Mom, Dad, would it be okay if I stayed at Susie's tomorrow night? Would it be okay if I did my homework on Sunday instead? Would it be okay if I borrowed the family car and never bring it back? Kids know this.
Yeah.
Kids have figured out through trial and error, if they say, would it be okay if, they can get almost anything they want without rejection, and they just wear their parents down. I know. My daughter used it against me all the time. And you could just see it coming, and you say, well, give me the knife. Let me, you know, stab myself, save you the effort. It's just like, it's
how
just
kind
so
of
easy.
You.
But just think about what you could say. Well, would it be okay if your bills were lower? Would it be okay if you live longer? Would it be okay if you lose weight one time, keep it off forever? Would it be okay if you lose weight just by changing what you have for breakfast? Would it be okay if you can make your skin younger while you sleep? Would it be okay if you can stop that crackling, wrinkling sound of your skin when you sleep? We could just mess with people forever with would it be okay if.
Yeah.
And I'm not an outgoing person. I don't go out of my way, but if you say these words, I almost look like I'm outgoing. So I go to this place in England, and the airline's ruined my suitcase. So I had these two distributors, and I says, come with me. We're going to the mall. I got to get another suitcase. So we go to Marks and Spencer's, an English store. They're like Marshall Field or something like that.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, Macy's or whatever. And there's a suitcase, 59 pounds. So I had the two with me. So I said, now watch this. I'm going to say, would it be okay if? And if they say yes or no, it doesn't matter. There's no rejection. I just asked all the pressure on them. So I say, well, would it be okay if I got a discount? And the young girl, they said, well, no, I'm not allowed to give discounts. I said, okay, so would it be okay if you just took the sales tax off? No. But all the pressure, they saw all the pressure's on her. And I said, well,
yeah, exactly.
Would it be okay if, you know, I got some sort of VAT or tax discount because I'm a foreigner? Well, I really can't do that. Well, would it be okay if you asked your manager? Well, I'll ask my manager. Anyway, I just said it, you know, like 4 or 5 times. And, well, it's rejection free. We could do this. So we go up to the counter to pay, and it was 19 pounds. And I looked at them, and I'm going, yeah, I'm good.
yeah.
It was like, you know, even I was surprised. I said, holy cow.
Wow. That's very profound. You know,
You say, would it be okay if you gave it to me on sale? Because I know it's going to go on sale eventually. You know, just keep saying that. And
right.
It is amazing. So my closing words would be, just say, would it be okay if, and manipulate the world to your will. Why not?
That's awesome.
What a great way to close it out. Absolutely love it.
So would it be okay if we got together for another hour sometime in the future and take a closer look at the human brain and how we can mess with it and just have the time of our lives?
Sold. Just Woo! Like that. I was sold before you started. It was great.
I thought you'd never ask.
So does it make sense to you?
He just keeps going. And I'm like, I'm drooling.
Well, Big Al, in that case, we got to talk.
That was great. Too easy.
Awesome.
What Gabriel said was cool, because you can just wrap it up by saying, let's talk.
Let's
that's
talk.
It.
Yeah, that's it.
No hassle for appointments. Mm. So easy. Well, men can do it.
I really have to say, I really appreciate your time. I know your time is super valuable, and you know, you've been just super awesome. And I really don't think you understand how much you've actually helped me in my life and helped change my life in a massive way by using these life hacks, these brain hacks. And I really appreciate it, man. It's just been such a huge thing for me and my family. So thank you so much.
And it's been about 3 years since I've been up to Portland, Maine. So I'll have to.
I know, but I was reading your books before I met you, though. Like, I was. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you overcame that handicap quick. Wow.
No, it's been a huge, huge honor to have you on the show. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Well, look forward to next time. And Cody and Gabriel, I'll say goodbye to now. And for everybody listening, just use those magic words. If you want a few more, just go to bigalbooks.com, BIGALbooks.com. And it's up to you to listen.
So, yeah, and for the shortcut, click on the link in the description. You'll find it right there. So thanks so much.
Most awesome. And subscribe to this podcast. These are funny guys. And well, you know how with funny guys, they're always interesting. And well, you know how this podcast really rocks. And well, you know how if you subscribe, the angels will start singing. And
would it be okay?
Too much fun.
Would it be okay? Would it be okay if you guys would subscribe to the channel? That would mean the world to us.
Yeah. Would it be okay if you got your family to subscribe?
Yeah.
I love this. This is
great. Awesome. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you so much, right. Big Al. I appreciate this.
Thank you all. We'll do it again. Talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
Bye.